So once again, our message today is based on the heart. It's based on the heart. Anybody recognize this? What does it remind you of? What? I'm sorry? Sorry?
Valentine's.
Valentine's Day. And it's only just a few days away. As usual, I tried to do a little bit of research on Saint Valentine. And it's actually quite interesting when you look at the background as to how this all evolved over time. See, Saint Valentine in the late 200s, okay, is supposedly recognized for having healed or been part of a healing process of the daughter of his jailer. He was also made the saint of beekeeping and epilepsy. Don't ask me how, but that's what happened, okay? All right. But it's interesting what his real recognition was that back at that time, in the late 200s, early 300s, the Romans would not permit Christian soldiers to get married because getting married would distract them from their purpose of being a soldier. And they didn't want them to have to worry about their wives back home or whatever. Interesting. It was forbidden to marry if you were a Christian. Also interesting was that it wasn't until the 1700s that a legend came up that said that when Valentine, as he was called then, wrote to the girl in jail who was blind, he signed his letter, "Your Valentine." And that's why we do that today, I guess. He also did something else. He would hand out little bits of paper with a heart on it, and he would send that to those Christians at war and to other Christians, all right? And on it, it said, it was to remind Christians for their love of God. That's what it was about. That's what happened back in, 300 AD. Obviously, in this day and age, when people celebrate Valentine's Day, and there's nothing wrong with doing that because it's talking about love and loving each other, but if you look at the way it is commercially today, it's not reminding people about God's love. It was in 1382, that Geoffrey Chaucer wrote about romantic love, and it was about two birds. That's why sometimes you see on Valentine's Day cards little birds, all right? And he had this vision that he wrote in 1382 about how birds choose their mates. It wasn't until late 1700s that printed cards were starting to be used, and then in England, people would express their love not just with cards but also with flowers and chocolate, yay, and sending greeting cards to others and so on. In the United States, it started also in about the mid-1800s. Here's one other little thing that I thought was pretty interesting. It wasn't until the 1800s or late 1800s that in Italy, of all places, instead of giving people a card, all right, a lover, or hopefully a lover, would give a key, a tiny key, to their lover as a romantic symbol and an invitation to unlock the giver's heart. All right, so I would give you a key, and I would hope that you would unlock my heart. Interesting, huh? How that all comes about. Well, here we are in the current age in 2017. All right, 190 million Valentine's Day cards were sold just in the United States. The latest statistic is that in 2017, $18 billion was spent on Valentine's Day. That's an average of $136 a person. So if you're receiving a Valentine's Day gift today, okay, hope you're in the average. In the United Kingdom, they have spent a little bit less, $1.3 billion, and they've done 25 million cards. So just between two countries, it's over 200 million cards. Hallmark loves this day, right? Interestingly enough, though, Valentine's Day is not a very popular celebration in some countries. In fact, in Indonesia and in Pakistan, it is banned. And in Saudi Arabia, in 2002... it was banned, and that the religious police banned the sale of all Valentine's Day items, telling shop workers to remove anything, any red item, because the day is considered a Christian holiday. And this ban, and interestingly enough, created a black market, okay, for roses and wrapping paper in that country. It's interesting the way this all evolves, right? I mean, but here we are celebrating something and not recognizing the history and how it has affected people all around the world. It has become, and we will all remember, and I enjoy celebrating this day too, it's become a time of romance. It's a time of great romances of the past, maybe, and remembering them. It's a time of roses and chocolates. It's a time of cards, little pictures of winged cupids, doves. People write poems. It's an interesting time. But the center of it all is the heart. The heart. The heart is the most prominent. You know, when we sometimes think about the heart and we describe other people, we sort of say, well, that person has a very soft heart. Or that person has a hard heart. Or sometimes we have a heavy heart. There are those who have a bleeding heart or a broken heart. Sometimes we discuss what are called the matters of the heart. Some are even credited with having a heart of gold. In the Bible, in the NIV version, the word heart appears 725 times. Probably gives you an idea of how important our hearts are to God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, it is our first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. We are to love God, it says, with our whole heart, with all of our being, with all that we are and all that we have, whether it be our heart, our soul, we'll see in a minute. It includes our mind, our strength, our possessions. It's our service. It's our whole being. It's putting God first. From our heart. The heart is all encompassing. In Hebrew, it's the heart, the word is called labab, and the soul is called your nefesh, the nefesh, your soul. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus reminded us to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. Here, the word heart is cardia. That's where we get cardio in medical terms. And the soul is your psyche. And your mind is your dianoia. And your strength is ischus. You see, our love for God must involve the totality of our inner person, all of us, everything that is in us, okay? And that becomes our heart. In Psalm 103, it says in verse 1, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, all my heart, all everything that makes me up, put all my inmost being, praise his holy name." With all of us, with every part of us, we are to praise him. It's our wholehearted commitment of expressing our love to God. And how do we do that? How do we do that? We've mentioned, I can't believe it, we've mentioned three or four times already today in prayer and in other things, in song, we are to surrender and to trust. I don't know if you think of anybody in the Bible. Do you know of anybody in the Bible who is named, who has been given a man after God's own heart? Anybody want to volunteer?
David.
Yeah, David said, and he was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he surrendered everything. He surrendered all to God. He was a sinner just like all of us, but he put everything into God. He surrendered all to God. Everything was according to God's will. He surrendered it. I ask a question. Oswald Chambers writes in some of his daily devotions, in one of them, he asks this question to ask ourselves. Can we, or can I, or can you say, have I surrendered this new day to God, and will I seek and obey the guidance of the Holy Spirit throughout its hours? Can you start your day in prayer and say to Christ, to God, I surrender this day to you? Because that is to come from your heart. And when we surrender, we are reminded that in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust. That's the surrender. That's the depending on. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean to your own understanding. Put it into God's hands. Let him lead you through the day. Is God in your heart? Or is he on your heart? You know, I know that sounds very subtle difference. People talk about, oh yeah, God's on my heart. I have a heart for God. No, God, is God in your heart? I'll go back to that that interesting thing that the Italians did of giving keys, all right? Have you given the key to your heart to God so he can unlock it? That's interesting to think about, right? I was amazed when I read that about this tradition that they have. Giving a key to unlock a heart. Giving yourself and surrendering to God, that is the key. That is the key. And here's the thing. Those who receive Jesus Christ, by the way, I have to pause here for a second. What I wrote for the message yesterday and what I'm delivering today is not completely the same. Because very early, I won't tell you when, I was woken up, and so you're going to see a few different scriptures that were not originally planned. So, we give our key to our heart to Jesus Christ. We do so in many different ways, right? We do it through repentance. We do it through asking. We do it in praise. We do it in worship. We do it in so many different ways. And how does he receive us? How does, when we say we receive Jesus Christ, as it says in John 1, chapter 12, How does he receive us? What does he pour into our heart? And what he pours into our heart is in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, where it says, "And hope doesn't put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given us." Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. How did we? It's given. We've been given the Holy Spirit when we unlock our heart to God. Jesus Christ promised that he would put his words into our hearts. In Jeremiah 31, he said, "This is a covenant I'm going to make with you. I will make with the people of Israel after that time. I will put my law in their minds and I write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." When the Holy Spirit was poured into your heart, you were made. I was made one of God's people as a child of God. You know, when you just think about that in itself, it's amazing, right? The other part of the commandment is in Mark chapter 12, verse 31. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. In John, I found it really interesting. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it very quickly. John chapter 1. I'm sorry, the first John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. I found it interesting that this was, I get a daily scripture sent to me. This was the scripture that was sent to me today. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. We were born and given love, God's love. And that love that we were given, we are to use. It's patient, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13. It's patient, it's kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast. We're not proud. We don't dishonor others. We're not self-seeking. We're not easily angered. We don't keep records of wrongs. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. Are we able to do all of that? We ask the Holy Spirit to help us, and we desire to do all of that. Do we fail sometimes? Yes, we do. But we know what we can do. We can go to a forgiving, loving God and say, "Please forgive me and help me not to do that again." It says in Ephesians that we're to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving, just as Christ forgave us. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, there's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's been poured into us. We've unlocked our hearts to God. We've repented. We've asked Christ, "Be in me, lead me, guide me, direct me, protect us," of course. But now it's our job with the Holy Spirit that do we bear the fruit? And what's the first part of the fruit that we are to deliver or to bear, to produce? It's called love. Love, then joy, then peace, then forbearance and kindness and goodness, faithfulness. John 13:34, Jesus again says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I've loved you." It all comes from the heart. It all comes from the heart. I have a few quotes from different people You can go to the internet. Let me tell you, there are lots of quotes about love. Nice, mushy, emotional stuff sometimes, you know. And I know guys aren't, I'm just like every other guy, you know, the mush factor is pretty low, all right? But there are some amazing quotes about our heart. John Bunyan, he quoted, "In prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart." Martin Luther King, "You only need a heart full of grace." So true. Martin Luther, "Faith is the yes of the heart." Billy Graham, "The word of God hidden in the heart is a stubborn voice to suppress." That's pretty meaningful when you think about it. The word of God in our heart is a stubborn voice to suppress. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, "Prayer doesn't mean simply to pour out one's heart. It means rather to find the way to God and to speak with him, whether your heart is full or empty." And John Riley says, "No prayers can be heard which do not come from a forgiving heart." Interesting, all these different quotes that we are given. But love comes from the heart. Love comes from the heart. You see, the greatest love is a love that we were given. The greatest love. Yes, we've got the Holy Spirit poured out to us when we unlock our heart to Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. But don't forget, the greatest love was love that was given. And that love was from God the Father. God loved the world that he gave his only Son, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I have to, this is interesting, is what we have learned about Valentine, about our hearts. Who does your heart belong to? Who does your heart belong to? See, we're asked to surrender and we're asked to trust, but who does your heart belong to? And how much have you given of it to who owns it? See, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, Jesus Christ, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe, language, and people and nation.'" The message is Jesus Christ's blood purchased each and every one of us and purchased our hearts. He purchased our hearts. And we are to surrender all of what he has purchased. And we are to do it with trust and with love and a whole heart. Because God treasures each and every one of us. He treasures each and every one of us. Christ died on the cross. What an amazing... it's unfathomable when you think about what he has done, so that we can have a changed heart, a heart that is based on love and that is filled with the Holy Spirit. God treasures each and every one of us. We are his purchased but treasured possession. So I'll summarize very quickly here with one scripture. if we are reminded that we are a treasured possession to Christ. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Great God, our Father in heaven, we humbly come before your throne and we thank you for what your Son, Jesus Christ, has done, that you have made it possible for us to have eternal life, but that in this physical life now, you've given us this opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And although we're about to celebrate a time where we want to show love to each other, especially with those who are most important in our lives, but may we put you first and surrender to you our whole heart, our complete heart, our mind, our body, our soul. Help us to love you, God, and to love our neighbor. Guide us and direct us and inspire us. And may, as we heard in an earlier prayer today, may we be examples and lights to those who are around us so that they can experience and see what love and peace truly is. We just thank you, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray this prayer in your holy, righteous name. Amen.